Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, she's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about.
No Fun, the Jen Kirkman Podcast, episode 373, coming to you on February 3rd. I know you might be listening to this on a different day and go, it's not February 3rd, and you get all confused and you feel like you've time traveled. I'm just saying it comes out on February 3rd, 2021. What is this? Well, hello, everyone. I'm Jen Kirkman. I am a comedian. I've got two comedy specials right now on Netflix. I'm Going to Die Alone and I Feel Fine and Just Keep Living. I'm also an author. You can buy my two books anywhere you buy books. One is called I Can Barely Take Care of Myself. It's about not wanting kids. And the other one is called I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. It's about turning 40 and dating and traveling the world and some comedy gossip in there for you and family stuff and when friendships fall apart and all kinds of things that you go through in life as you're getting older and things keep changing. I really like that book. I recommend you buy that one. Get it anywhere you get books. Obviously, just go to Amazon. This podcast is where I can show another side of myself. It's not a comedy special where I've honed every joke and I've gone around the country to test it out. No. There's no punchlines here. It's a conversation between me and you where you say nothing. It's not a scripted monologue. It's just like a friend talking to you on the phone. And again, you say nothing. It's not joke per minute. It is sometimes funny, sometimes serious, but always honest and real. I started this podcast in 2013. If you want to go back and listen to the archives, this podcast used to be called I Seem Fun. And if you go to my website, jenkirkman.com, and you click podcast, on the top of the page there, it will tell you to listen to archived episodes. Go here. So you have 372 episodes to catch up on. And I started this podcast 7 years ago because I was known mostly at the time for doing Chelsea Lately and Drunk History, two things that might lead you to think she's a party girl. Now, I'm a good time, but I'm not traditionally fun. I don't want to go to Vegas and go to the club, and I don't want to yell woo for no reason. And so I was getting a lot of woo people in my shows. Woo! And they just talked to me during the show. What's Chelsea doing? Vodka! And I was like, what's happening? I got into stand-up to be this like smarty pants-ish sort of storytelling weirdo. What? Why are there like woo people at my shows? And I realized, oh, they don't know who I am. Well, I better tell them that I am not as fun as they think. And so I started this podcast so that I could actually have a place where I could represent who I am. Because when you're on other TV shows, you kind of show something else, you know? So there you go. This is the real me. I think every podcast does stuff like this. Every comedian is a goddamn podcast. I know you're not like, wait, I don't understand. Tell me more about this. Okay, great. So this is where you are. This is who I am. I am part of the Misfit Toys Comedy Collective. It is a collective of comedians who have podcasts. And if you, again, go to the show notes, you can click the link and see all the other great podcasts on the collective, started by Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap of Never Not Funny. Never Not Funny is obviously part of the collective. The Todd Glass Show, Doug Loves Movies, Mike Schmitz, the 40-year-old boy, and Jonah Ray's Let Me Watch Your Movie with you. Now, right now, I'm going to have you hear a word from our friend Todd Glass.
Hi, everybody. This is Todd Glass. What could I say that would make you want to give the Todd Glass Show a listen? Well, I guess you could poke around on YouTube, and if some of the stuff over there makes you laugh or my Netflix special act happy, then maybe you'll give it a listen. The only other thing I could do is make it short because it's interrupting a podcast you already love. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye.
Now, you either heard something from Todd Glass just then, or you didn't, and you're like, what just happened? I'm going to ask him to make me something on his voice memo to advertise his podcast. And if he gets it to me in time, it will air just then. If it doesn't, well, then that's just what happened. Okay, what am I going to talk about this week? I can't stop thinking about Ilaria Baldwin. Maybe I'll tell you a positive story. I'm full of positivity. Last week, I told you a positive customer service story. Now I have a positive cardiologist story. My new alcohol-free obsession with being a alcohol-free mixologist. I might talk a little politics. Just a little Joe Biden, a little CNN, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo thoughts. Sometimes I get randomly angry at my therapist for something she said 8 years ago and I can't let it go. The pandemic has wiped out an entire category of friendships, and I have a disagreement with this article. I think what they're talking about, I'm not sure if it's true. And some advice for the depressed out there. There's a thing going around Twitter that I thought was cool. And of course, we've got some listener emails about all kinds of things that we've talked about in the last few episodes. So, ooh, it's raining. I wish you could hear it. You're like, I have rain where I live. Okay, sorry. It doesn't rain that much in LA. I mean, it does. It's only like a month out of the year, not consecutively. So, I don't know where to begin. I wrote down TV I am watching, couples therapy on Showtime, but I don't have anything to say about it. Maybe I was just making notes to myself. But yeah, I enjoy the show Couples Therapy on Showtime. Wow. Aren't you glad you tried out this podcast? No, but I'm a therapy nerd, and there's actually, I'll watch anything that's actual people in therapy. Scripted non-reality I'm less interested in, so I don't need to watch a show about therapy, but actual therapy sessions, you know what I'm saying? And Couples Therapy is a brilliant show, and this woman is such a good couples therapist. And I watched it last year. It's on Showtime, and these couples come in, and they get therapy. And you're sitting there thinking, every couple that comes in, I thought, you should not be together. You clearly are growing past each other. There is no way to fix this. And I know that, you know, people go through tough times and you do have to work on it. But what I'm seeing here is not that you folks need to work on anything. It's that you need to break up. I mean, and these people are doing fine. And what it taught me is if there is any sense of love there, you can probably get through it. Sometimes the most difficult matchups are probably the most, I'm not going to say they're the most destined, but they're incredibly destined as, you know, obviously you can work on your own healing on your own. You don't need a partner, but the partner will bring up another layer of things, right? Anytime we add something into the experiment, we get different results. So I'm not trying to say you're only living at your highest self if you have a partner, obviously not. But you certainly do get challenged in different ways when you have a partner. And it can be incredibly healing if you're working on it. And I guess incredibly damaging if you're not. And so what I love about watching these couples is when I'm wrong, which is 80% of the time. And I think I think sometimes they do stay together because it's easier. And, but I think most of these couples, I was just wrong about. There was this one couple, this woman was a trans woman, was with her lesbian girlfriend. And the lesbian girlfriend, I don't know anyone's name, so I'm just identifying everyone by this. So the lesbian girlfriend was saying, I'm going to have a baby. And the couple's therapist is sitting there, okay. Well, last week you both were talking about how you didn't have any money. Oh, no, I'm having a baby. That's what we need. And I thought, well, this woman is so pushy and she's not even checking in with her partner, and her partner doesn't seem to have an opinion on anything. And what's going on here? And she's very impulsive, and oh God, these two is not going to work. Well, then there was the couples therapy COVID special on Showtime. And what was interesting is we revisited some of these couples and how their lives have changed from being stuck in a, takes place in New York City, you know, in surrounding areas. So these people are stuck in an apartment in New York City. And for a lot of the couples, things got better because of it. So lesbian girlfriend and trans woman come back in. Lesbian girlfriend is now identifying as non-binary and was so busy figuring all that out that having a baby just went out of the window. And she had started a wedding photography business and had the studio, but then had to sell it because of COVID and no business. And then these two just bought a house in the woods and moved, and they're doing great. I never would have predicted that. I would have thought, oh boy, they're going to have a baby. It's not going to work out. Everyone's breaking up. Then there was another couple. There's a black guy and his wife is Puerto Rican, and she's not black, but she's darker skinned. And they're always having race problems. He's this kind of guy who's kind of people pleasing, which sucks because if women are texting, if women that have crushes on him are texting him all night, he'll text them back. And he's truly not cheating. He's just a people pleaser and doesn't know how to set the boundary. And then his wife is thinking, well, why can't you people please me ever? And the therapist has to explain that you don't want him to people please you, but you do want him to set boundaries with other people. But then he will have experiences with race that he feels he can't talk to his wife about, even though she isn't Caucasian white. But he'll say, you know, I was at this restaurant and I felt very disrespected. And she'll just completely dismiss it as though race doesn't exist. And she's like, I don't know, I didn't see it. And whenever he talks about race, she literally reacts like a blonde white woman. It was kind of shocking to me because I was like, but don't you have issues sometimes? You know, she's a darker skinned woman. And then in the couples therapy COVID edition, it was during the Black Lives Matter movement, and he felt he couldn't talk to his wife about his anxiety he was feeling as a black man in society. And then finally, she breaks open and says, yeah, I just don't have these issues because, you know, going to school, white people hated me because they thought I was black, and Puerto Ricans hated me because they said I was too white. So I never really fit in. So race isn't really a thing for me. And she was convinced that race was not an issue for her. And the couples therapist said, wait, say more on that. And it just, all it takes is someone saying, say more on that. And you have just heard yourself reveal, race is totally a big thing to me. I have just been shoving it down. And that's clearly why she would get uncomfortable when he would address that he's in his feelings about race and he can, you know, be present in the moment of pain that he experiences in this society. And she's like, oh my God, I didn't realize. I love watching people have their breakthroughs. I also think it's a great acting lesson for any of you actors out there or wannabe actors. These are the little moments in life that I learn so much. As someone who is only a sometimes little bit actor, who would totally love to act more, but it's just a whole, I audition a lot, I don't really get things. I think it'll happen later in life. I'm not really too worried about it, but I also just love acting, you know, as a thing to study and read about and know about. I was an acting major in college. So I'm always just kind of, it's just something I find very fun. I love, because I'm not that great at it, I'm very fascinated with people who are great actors. And so I'm always looking for little things that remind me of I don't know why. I'm not researching anything right now. But if I were researching a role, I would watch things like couples therapy, because when someone has a massive breakthrough, you know, if you said to an actor, okay, you're playing this Puerto Rican woman. She has a lot of pain about race issues, but she has been shoving it down for decades. And she gets really uncomfortable when her husband talks about race. You know, you might picture someone squirming, but she really just sits there like she turns into a stone. And then when she got her breakthrough, it just looked like you could see it happening kind of behind her eyes. But really, it was just a very quiet, none too physical of a moment where she kind of leaned her head back and went, oh. You know, it looked like that. But because we know what's happening, it's totally profound, right? And so much of acting is in the writing, in the sense that the audience knows already what you're going through. We're just sitting here watching you discover it. And you don't have to discover it in this, oh my God, and start, you know, running around the room. So I love the show on so many levels. And then there was another couple. They'd been together since they were, is this the show? Honey, she's just recapping a show that we already saw. I already know she's going to talk about the couple that they've been together since. Do I know the one that listens to this damn podcast every week? I keep telling you, put on Joe Rogan. He's interviewing an alien denier who believes in COVID, but only that aliens get COVID. Well, put that on then. I don't know how to work this radio. It's not a radio. Anyway, I'll stop after this. But there was this other couple. They were new. I hadn't seen them before. But they'd been together since they were kids. They thought they had to keep up this story of how they're the greatest love story ever because they've been together so long, and that their friends really looked up to them for inspiration. And they were crumbling inside because she never wanted to have sex with him and she was always traveling. And so he was kind of excited that there was a pandemic because he thought it would finally bring them closer. But really all she did was just spend the whole time in another room away from him. And so the couple's therapist encouraged them to just have intimacy, just lay there. Can you snuggle? And then they would do that. And then it would lead to sex. And now they're back and now they talk and now it's just fun to watch. It's a great show. So that's what I've been, well, it's only one episode, but it was cool to watch. So that's that.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, so I went to see a cardiologist. I know I briefly mentioned it last week. I don't want to get into it because I do not want unsolicited advice. And you all, just society in general, cannot help itself with unsolicited advice. So I will tell you this. The problem has been named. It's all good. Everything's fine. So nothing you write me could possibly help. Does that... Now can you sit back and relax and hear a story? Okay, great. As a woman, sometimes it's hard to go to the doctor because we're stupid. We can't drive. We can't find the place and our high heels are hurt. It can be hard to go to the doctor because there is a lifelong societal thing where women are seen as hysterical. And I don't mean funny. I don't mean funny women. I mean, oh, it's all in your head, honey. That's not real. A lot of medical studies are, you know, if you study arm cancer, it's studied on men, but everything affects men and women differently. So there's so many things, there's so many body parts that we share, but they go through different things because we have totally different hormones. One's not better or worse, right? But it's different. Things are going to affect me differently, especially because I'm in perimenopause. So I don't even respond to things as a woman that I used to even 10 years ago. My body's constantly changing. So are men's. So I have a woman doctor. Again, I know. Ugh. How can I be sure she knows what she's talking about? Ironically, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Not because she's a woman, because she's an asshole. And every time I've gone to her, she calls everything I have anxiety, because she every time I see her, she forgets who I am. Hi, I see her once a year for my yearly physical. And then if anything else happens, I told a funny story about her years ago on the podcast where I had this giant rash on my arm. I wanted to make sure it wasn't shingles because I just had a friend who had shingles and I'd been around that friend. And she went, no, you got bit by a mosquito. She has this kind of transcontinental European accent. I don't know what it is. You got bit by a mosquito when you were outside in your tank top having a glass of wine. I was like, I haven't been outside in a tank top having a glass of wine. And that's not a mosquito bite. Anyway, and she looked at my chart. You had breast lump removed in 2001. You had tonsillitis in 1990. So, oh, you have anxiety. It's anxiety. And I'm like, it's not anxiety. She just reads things I've had in my chart. I go, take anxiety off the table. By the way, I'm the first to admit something's anxiety. That's my problem. I think everything's anxiety. So I won't see a doctor for a condition for years, you know? And so, but I made an appointment with a cardiologist, younger guy. I mean, who can tell anymore with masks and shields on and everything? But he was not a grandfather. He was probably younger than me. And I know this is weird, and I'm just making all kinds of assumptions, and my woke audience won't like this. But there was part of me, as I was picking a cardiologist based on their name, I went, maybe I'll go with a guy. And the reason is, sometimes women doctors can be more sexist than men. Because they have internalized the sexism. Almost in the way, this perfect example, that woman from couples therapy who was Puerto Rican had internalized her own racial issues of people hating her to where she went, I don't even have this issue, and judged her husband for talking about race. There's a lot of women who internalize all the hatred of women they've seen over their lives and all the times that they've been told, you know, they weren't really sick, and they just do it to you. But sometimes a younger man maybe has had some schooling as of recent in his medical school and has been told, don't do this to women. So I just felt like maybe we'll do that. And he was great. Now, was it because he was a man? I now would say no. I think just because he was a great doctor. But what I loved about the appointment, oh my God, it was COVID safe heaven. If they ever make a porno about COVID safety, and again, it's there's no nudity or sex in this porno. It's just you going, oh my God, I love it when you watch what happens. And what happened is this. I walk into the building. It's on the first floor, so I don't have to deal with any elevators. The door is open, so you don't have to touch the doorknob. All the seats are taped off. There is one seat that you could possibly sit in. No one else is in the lobby. You cannot get within 10 feet of the counter. There is plexiglass in front of it anyway. You are standing so far back, you almost feel like you have to shout a little bit. The receptionist is wearing a shield and a mask, and they don't do any of that bullshit. Sign in. Can I see your ID? Can I see your insurance card? They don't bother you with that. I didn't even do it online. Or maybe I did it online. I have an account with these people. It's where I, whatever. We don't need to get into it. She said, okay, well, they'll take you right in. And I went to sit and they opened the door and said, come on in. And the nurse was really nice. As she gave me my EKG, she's masked, shielded. I'm triple masked. She's asking me, how's my experience been with COVID? What have I been experiencing out there? What's my living situation? It was all good. And information she could use, but it was just the small talk she was making. Doctor came in, we talked, and not once did he think that what I was coming in for was technically just some anxiety. He took it all very seriously. He offered some suggestions. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. This, that, we chatted, boom. Gave me a heart monitor to wear, which has been really fun. And then I go back for another thing next month, and then We good. But it was such a great experience that I got misty-eyed when I got back in my car. I was like, I didn't experience sexism. It's so amazing when it doesn't happen. To just get treated as a person with a heart and they need to figure something out was heaven. That wasn't one of my best stories, but I just, again, I wanted to give a shout out where shout outs are due. So I don't normally talk about pop culture things on this podcast. What I do is I do have a Patreon. That is the paid version of this podcast. Now, let me explain. I do a 20-minute bonus episode every week, audio only, and it's about something happening in pop culture. I've talked about Tom Cruise's crazy COVID rant. I've talked about Jane Krakowski and the MyPillow guy were supposedly dating. And I recently talked about Ilaria Baldwin. But there is so much on her that I don't want to make every paid bonus about her. So I'm going to bring some of this to this episode here, even though I don't always talk about celebrity things. But if something really interests me, I talk about it. But anyway, if you want to join the Patreon, you get those four bonuses. You also get a 1-hour bonus a month. It just depends on what level you're paying at. So there's $5 a month, $10 a month, $15, $20. With each level, you get more bonuses. And then the higher levels have unique merchandise that you get. And all levels, you would get extra bonuses that I didn't even tell you were going to get, like unreleased stand-up audio from, you know, I would tape stand-up sets on the road using my phone. But these are jokes and subjects and I was going to say materials that never ended up on a special. And there is not going to be another special, by the way. So in case you're waiting for that, not happening. I've known that for years, but you guys probably haven't. And there is no tour in 2021 at all. So the best way, I am doing this instead. It just makes more sense for me at this time for many reasons. So if you would like to support me, and trust me, I don't do this for my health. I specifically do Patreon because I do need to earn a living. So that is the best way to support me. That is how you put money in my pocket. People go, well, what if I watch your Netflix special over and over? It doesn't work on a residuals way. I got paid years ago and it's done. My books, I don't pocket that money. It just counts towards book sales. And so right now I'm not in the best area of book sales, to where they're like, oh, let's give her a third book deal. So the more you buy my books, the more you might get another book from me in a couple years. So that helps with that. But what puts money in my pocket is two things. You can buy my album, Just Keep Living, which has bonus material. I take you behind the joke. I tell you what jokes in my Netflix special were totally made up, what were based on truth. And you can get that. I'll put the link in the show notes and you can buy that. But it is through my great record label, AST Records. And again, just go to jenkirkman.com and click shop and you can find it there as well. So there's that. But the Patreon. For $5 a month, this is what you get. The video version. So you get to be in my home with me and look at me. I'm looking at the camera right now, talking to everyone out in Patreon land. In the video version, I hit record and I start talking to the video people for a while. Then I hit record on the audio only version. So you even get more bonuses than you ever bargained for. And you get one 20-minute celebrity entertainment gossipy bonus a month, plus other things I might throw in. And then $10, it's two 20-minute bonuses, plus the 1-hour bonus, plus the video version, plus whatever else I want to throw at you, like old stand-up sets or whatever. So, and then it keeps going from there. So I would love it if you got the money, join. Some people join, they cancel, they come back. I don't even look. I don't look individually. Oh my God, what's going on with Marcy? She quit the Patreon. I don't even look. It's your business. But patreon.com/Jen Kirkman, if you'd like to check it out, if you'd like to support, that would be great. Again, anything I mentioned, links to this, links to that, it's all in my show notes. Whatever app you're listening to this on, there should be show notes.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, so I had a point about the Patreon, though. Oh, Hilaria Baldwin. Okay, so I've been doing some thinking about this. So basically what happened is I didn't know what was going on with her. I kept seeing on Twitter, Hilaria Baldwin is trending. And I was like, what is that? Some Baldwin kid? Did he yell at one of his kids again? What's going on? And I really felt I didn't have much. I hate when people say bandwidth when they're talking about their brain, but I can't think of another word. I didn't have enough bandwidth in my brain to care about anything else except what I was currently caring about, whatever I was caring about during the week of Christmas. In terms of, you know, the news or whatever's going on in the world. And then I had a friend tell me, no, you need to know about this. This is important. And so I found out about it, that Alec Baldwin's wife has been saying that she's from Spain and talking with a Spanish accent. And she played herself when, of course, there's always a comedian involved, right? So how it kind of, people have been wondering if she's really Spanish for a long time, but where it, you know, people in the New York City society and the Hamptons and people who've known her forever, but where it kind of broke a little more public was two things happened at once. It was like the perfect convergence. So there's a woman on Twitter, and I talked about this in the bonus episode weeks ago, but there's a woman on Twitter who is on the inside. She's in some kind of mommy group, or she lives in Ilaria and Alec's building. I love that I'm honoring her by saying her name the Spanish way, even though that's not her name. Her name's Hillary. But so she wrote this blind thing on Twitter. She doesn't use her real name. And she said, she basically wrote this entire thread of all the times that Hilary Baldwin was pretending to be Spanish, including this famous, now famous video of her on a morning show cooking. And she's saying, now I'm going to make my famous, how do you say that in English? Cucumber. She's completely from Boston. How do you say in English cucumber? I mean, I can't get enough of someone who's doing that. So this woman on Twitter puts together this thread of, but now here's her in a video kind of not speaking in an accent. It's not that strong. And then she's in a video teaching her daughter about Martin Luther King. And she's spray. Hillary is normally blonde and pale, but she now has dyed her hair black and she spray tans. So she's got a little bit of a olive tone to her skin, like a tan, but not like she's a different color than Caucasian white. So she's with her Caucasian white daughter and she is putting her hand, she's teaching her daughter about MLK, and her daughter seems too young to understand what's happening or give a fuck. You know that age when kids are so enlightened anyway, and they don't have any racism, sexism, homophobia yet, and you're trying to teach them about it, and then to teach them not to be those ways, and they're just staring at you like, yeah, why the fuck would I do that? You know? I love when kids are still in their, like, what I call their, like, spirit being phase. Because that's my theory, that all kids come from like some enlightened planet. And for the first 2 years, they're like, what the fuck is this place? And then we screw them up and they become just like us. Okay, so the kid is just like, okay. And she's like, so judging people by the color of their skin is wrong. And the kid's like, uh-huh. She goes, now my skin's a little darker than yours. And Hilaria puts out her hand and then her white daughter puts out her hand. And Hilaria's hand is like one shade darker, spray tan style. And she's like, but we're the same, right? And her daughter's like, I think her daughter's even like, why are you pretending you're not white? So things like that are in this thread. And then I don't exactly know what Amy Schumer did. It's not totally important to the story exactly what she did, but Ilaria, why am I still saying that? Hillary Baldwin posted a photo of herself in her bathroom holding her baby. And, you know, she's got this thin, thin, no body fat body that most people at all don't have. Certainly not most people just had a baby. And she's posing with a baby in something, something healthy eating, working out. I don't know, whatever. So Amy Schumer either reposts that same picture on her timeline, pretending it's her as a joke, or she posts a picture of herself, or she does something. But it was totally a joke, and it had nothing to do with Hillary pretending to be Spanish. Amy didn't even know about that. She was just making fun of this famous woman who takes a lot of pictures of herself. If you don't know this about Hillary Baldwin, she's a yoga teacher. She's Miss Healthy Eating. She's super, super thin, and all she's kind of an influencer. So all of her Instagram posts are her half naked and yoga, and here's my body, but here's my baby and my body, my post-baby body. And Alec is in his 60s and she's in her 30s. Okay, so Amy was spoofing her somehow. I don't know what she was doing. So then Hilaria finds out that Amy did this and she makes a video, like a front-facing video on her phone and releases it to be like Amy's bullying. So then Amy felt bad. I just read about this. It's not firsthand, but Amy felt bad because people started bullying Hillary. And she was like, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. It was just supposed to be a stupid joke. Like, I didn't even know she'd ever know about that. Oh, God, sorry. And she deleted it. But it was too late. It sent off this shockwave around the world. So between this other woman's thread that had kind of been sitting there like a bomb waiting to go off on Christmas Eve, I think it was, or a couple days before Christmas, and then Amy's thing that, again, most people, I mean, she's got millions of followers, but in that sense that like most people didn't see. They weren't like, oh my God, Amy said something about Hilaria. Let me start researching Hilaria. Like none of that. It was just like these two things were sitting there like a bomb waiting to go off. And all of a sudden, Hillary plays herself by making this video. I mean, it would have gone away had she not made this video. And she's right up to the camera and she's like, I just don't understand why people are being so mean to me about, you know, a baby and I have a baby and, you know, and it's like totally no accent. And so then this other woman that's doing the thread is like, what's this? Like, it's crazy. So now it's exposed and everybody is doing this research. And then she did this huge interview with the New York Times and basically her story, and there's videos of Alec. He's on David Letterman and he's saying, you know, my wife will be like, oh, Alec, don't do this. Don't, oh, ri-ba-ti-pi-ta-poo. And he'll be like, my wife's from Spain. So he's in on the con too. He's not in on it. So basically, here's the story. Hillary Baldwin is a rich girl from Boston. She grew up in the Beacon Hill area of Boston, very swank. Her parents owned a ton of real estate. She has pretended that she's poor, and she has said she grew up in Spain. But she has sometimes said that she's from Boston, and then her parents retired to Spain about 10 years ago. So, and they used to go there a lot as kids, but I think only maybe once a year. So she just became this, you know, how people are. You get kind of obsessed with a certain culture. You wish it was you. That's fine. So that's what she's like with Spain. But she was not half raised. So she does all these things where she pretends she's from there. And she'll say these misleading things. So she grew up in Boston, then went to NYU. And she'll say, when I came to New York, which sort of implies from Spain, because she'll be like, I grew up half in Spain, and so then when I came to New York City for college, and you know, she has a slight accent, and it's incredible. The story of how she met Alec was that she was speaking Spanish to one of the Portuguese waiters or something. I don't remember. No, Portuguese is its own language. She was speaking Spanish to one of the waiters, something, something. Maybe it was a Portuguese restaurant. I just remember the word Portuguese is in there. Alec Baldwin saw her, grabbed her, and said, who are you? I must know you. Now, she claims on that night, she said, I'm from Boston. But I do believe that she claimed she was grew up equally in both places. So, long story longer. Alec always had a crush on, oh my God, why am I forgetting her name? Cruz, Penelope Cruz. And I even think he dated her for a hot second and it didn't work out, or he asked her out and she said no, or something like that. But right after that is when Hillary went to Hilaria. So I think she had her sights set on Baldwin. And he always kind of, he loves a Spanish woman. And so I think they're both getting what they want. And I heard Howard Stern talk about it, and then the clip disappeared online, but it was reposted on this Reddit thread. I mean, the whole point of the story is to tell you that I am now someone who's on a Reddit thread. So Howard said, and he's close with Alec Baldwin, and I guess his listeners were like, why aren't you saying anything about this? But what's he going to say, you know? It's if my friends were doing something stupid, I'd have a hard time addressing it. Trust me, I go through that every week. I'm like, should I mention? No, don't do that to your friends. So Howard basically said, you know, I didn't know it was fake until years ago. My daughter said something to me and then I kind of realized, oh, yeah. And then, you know, Alec, listen, like some people just they want to live in their fantasy and that's it. And I thought that was kind of a good take. He quickly just got out of the way. He was like, I don't know, maybe she's a little disturbed. I mean, I think that's what it is. So they've been hiding out in the Hamptons and, you know, Alec is making these crazy videos just going, consider the source. Like, the source is your wife who made a video where she didn't have an accent. That's the source. So I wanted to read everything I could about this and I went on a Reddit thread. And somehow, just by going on it, I didn't even log in or create a username, but somehow just by going on this thread, I now get emailed updates every time someone posts. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not looking for a way out of it. But this one woman was like, I live in their building and they're really nice, but they have five nannies and she pretends she doesn't. So hang on one second. I need some water, okay? Now, other podcasts would edit that out, but not mine. All right, so if any of you have been following this story, I just thought I'd read this to you because I think you'll appreciate this woman's point of view. I think it's good. And again, these are grown women writing complete essays on Hilaria Baldwin. Just logged in this morning to see AB is on a Twitter tear again. AB is the name of the woman. Is the handle of the woman who is writing these threads. Something clicked for me, and I'm curious about what you all think. Obviously, we're all hypothesizing here. My thought is that Alec has been through so much painful drama in his life, and he's getting older. And in my experience, as people get older, they just want peace. I also notice in my own life experience that when men get married, they try to right the wrongs of their first marriage. They tend to forgive a lot and really double down on supporting and even idolizing their second wives, because they just do not want to relive the turmoil of another divorce. That kind of resolve takes a sometimes delusional level of commitment. In Hilaria, Alec found solace. He found a woman who figured out a way to placate him through calculated manipulation and who embodied all of his dream wife qualities. I think for him, fantasy and reality just meshed together. Spanish, pretending to be Spanish, gold digger, genuine, it was of no consequence to him. The deal was sealed. She looked, spoke, and acted the part, and she landed the role. He was turned on and fulfilled. We all know celebrities deal in make-believe. He does not care about cultural appropriation, ethical behavior, respect for the disenfranchised. It's all blah, blah, blah to him. And after the trauma of his divorce and child custody situation, he simply does not have the energy to fight this. So he has committed 110% to sticking by her side, riding this out, and enjoying the only sense of peace he's ever felt in his life. I don't think he was lying in that Instagram tribute to her on her birthday, and I don't think he wants visitation with five little kids. He wants to be a hands-off dad, but living in the same house as his family. I don't think he cares if anything is real or illusion. His reality is subjective. Now, do we know she's a grifter? Yes, of course. Do all the Hamptons wives know and distance themselves from her? Sounds like it. Does the entire world know she's full of shit? We know they do. Is what she did unethical, disgusting, and offensive? I think we all agree it is. None of this matters to him. She is as committed to being the perfect dream wife. Who else could live with this man but a con artist as she is pretending she's a Spanish woman? She's not backing down. Neither is he. I believe they're going rogue. They're not following public relation team orders. They're not doing their requisite apology and rehab and all the disingenuous things celebrities reluctantly do because they're told they have to in order to save their careers. They're breaking script. This entire scandal has driven them closer together because he has decided the public will not win and tear his family apart. The two of them will ride out the storm until the coast is clear, however long that takes. It is entitled Stubbornness Times Two. I love this group. You've all made me laugh. And she goes, and I think this entire situation goes to show that in Hollywood, everything is bullshit. We're fools to think it isn't. There's always this anger at Hollywood. By the way, they live in New York City and the Hamptons. So I think the Hamptons is what's actually bullshit. Hollywood is a dirty, disgusting town. It's not even where they make TV anymore. When people say Hollywood, they sound 100. Everything's bullshit everywhere. You ever go to a small town? You know, you ever meet someone from a small town and they're so happy to live in a big city because they can finally be who they are? They can come out of the closet and they can... You know what I mean? I mean, everywhere is bullshit. Everyone is bullshitting to please their parents, to not get in trouble, to keep up with the neighbors. Don't tell anyone my son's on drugs. He's at summer camp, aka rehab. I mean, this notion that Hollywood is bullshit. Well, then don't watch a movie ever again. Don't watch a TV show. I mean, it is. It's a place where people, you know, but so are you going to go into the fiction section of a bookstore and start burning the books? Fiction is bullshit. Yep. It just makes me so, like, it's the only time I defend LA where it's like, well, y'all certainly love it. Y'all certainly like what we make out here. Then she writes, I'm totally hanging out with Live, Laugh, Love ladies. You know what I'm saying? I love this group. Y'all have made me laugh. And really, really, she spelled it R-I-L-L-Y. I guess that's a fun way. I really, really think on a larger scale about human behavior. I'd love to hear your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree. Now, I just happen to totally agree with her. I think he doesn't want any trouble. He's delusional. It's a he's got someone who's willing to perform a fantasy for him. And he's like, fuck yeah. You know, it'd be like if I met a guy and I was like, here's your outfit. You're going to dress like Prince. Anyway, so, you know, I'm just, I'm fascinated. I don't want to be mean to her to her face. I think you're going to be a little bit fucked up. I mean, there's this notion that like, oh, she's a grifter, like, let's just be mean. Okay, so you probably didn't notice this, but my editor, Tony, just right now clipped together the first part and the second part. This is the second part. Two audio files were merged because I was talking and I shut my computer for no reason, which turned off the audio recording. And but if you were a Patreon subscriber, you would have seen the whole thing happen and I would have talked to the video camera and told you stuff. And I just recorded a whole segment about politics for 8 minutes and decided I don't want it in the show. But the video version, people get it. Okay. So I was just saying, I'm a fan of when Chris Cuomo says to Don Lemon, I love you, brother. I love you, Dean Lemon. It warms my heart. I like when men express affection for each other. So I wanted to read this to you all. I thought it might help you. This was going around on Twitter, and it was someone who was really depressed. And it's called Run the Dishwasher Twice. So there you go. I don't know this person, but again, it was going around on Twitter. When I was at one of my lowest mental points in life, I couldn't get out of bed some days, and I had no energy or motivation and was barely getting by. I had therapy once per week, and on this particular week, I didn't have much to bring to the session. He asked me how my week was, and I really had nothing to say. What are you struggling with? He asked. I gestured around me and said, I don't know, man, life. Not satisfied with my answer, he said, no, what exactly are you worried about right now? What feels overwhelming? When you go home after this session, what issue will be staring at you? I knew the answer, but it was so ridiculous that I didn't want to say it. I wanted to have something more substantial, something more profound, but I didn't. So I told him, honestly, the dishes, it's stupid, I know, but the more I look at them, the more I can't do them because I'll have to scrub them before I put them in the dishwasher because the dishwasher sucks and I just can't stand and scrub the dishes. I felt like an idiot even saying it. What kind of grown-ass woman is undone by a stack of dishes. There are people out there with actual problems, and I'm whining to my therapist about dishes. But my therapist nodded in understanding and then said, run the dishwasher twice. I began to tell him that you're not supposed to, but he stopped me. Why the hell aren't you supposed to? If you don't want to scrub the dishes and your dishwasher sucks, run it twice. Run it three times. Who cares? Rules do not exist, so stop giving yourself rules. It blew my mind in a way that I don't think I can properly express. That day, I went home and tossed my smelly dishes haphazardly into the dishwasher and ran it three times. I felt like I'd conquered a dragon. The next day, I took a shower lying down. A few days later, I folded my laundry and put them wherever the fuck they fit. There were no longer arbitrary rules I had to follow, and it gave me the freedom to make accomplishments again. Now that I'm in a healthier place, I rinse off my dishes and put them in the dishwasher properly. I shower standing up. I sort my laundry. But at a time when living was a struggle instead of a blessing, I learned an incredibly important lesson. There are no rules. Run the dishwasher twice. I love this. It is such profound advice. If any of you have had an experience like this, give me your profound experience with learning to, you know, get these things out of your head. Like there's this rule and you have to do it this way. But iseemfun@gmail.com. That's where you can send that. Everyone, I want to remind you that in 2021, I am sending money to food banks all across America. I've got a big hefty amount for January, which is really cool. I'm going to be sending it to Los Angeles Food Bank, since we are ground zero for COVID and people are really struggling because of all the rich people here running around getting COVID, being dicks. And then I think the other one I'm going to send it to is, I forget what the other one is I decided to send it to, because I'm recording this before February 1st and I don't send the donation until then. I think it was going to be one in Austin, Texas. I can't remember, but pardon me. But I'm going to go a little like red state, blue state every month, you know, like one to split it up between two food banks. And the way I'm donating all this money, by the way, is through my merchandise sales. I have a merchandise store. Go to jenkirkman.com, click shop, or check the show notes for the link. I've got great designs, things that say women are literally humans. I meditated today, motherfucker. Respect Generation X, and there's a picture of a pencil going into a cassette tape and spooling it back up. Things that say feminist as fuck, things that say I'm no fun, I'm not fun, I am fun, rich bitch. And you can get them as sweatshirts and hoodies and t-shirts and tank tops and tote bags and pillows and mugs and stickers and pins and magnets and laptop cases and phone cases and all kinds of things. Travel mugs, everything. It's great. And all the proceeds that I get to keep, of course, I do have to, a little bit gets held back from TeePublic, and every sale does support an independent designer. But then when they pay me out, I give it all to charity, 100%. So if you want to help a food bank but get yourself something nice, you can do both. JenKirkman.com, click shop, or check the link in the show notes. Now, since we talked about therapy in this podcast, my therapist said something years ago, and I think I have to bring it up with her this week. This is so stupid, but you know, you kind of never know where things are going to go in therapy. I'm sorry about clearing my throat. Someone's going to email me. I really think you should edit that stuff out. I really think you should fuck off. Okay, there you go. Now you're not going to email me. Somebody wrote, I like to fall asleep to your show, but then that staccato song at the end comes up. I'm like, that's called the outro song. And you're not really supposed to, it's not a sleepy time podcast. I mean, I love when people tell me they fall asleep listening to it, but yeah, it's probably going to wake you up because there's an outro song, which is a normal thing to have on a podcast. I'm not making the go to sleep podcast, so don't get mad at me. People get mad at me for so many things. Why do you get mad at the real comedians who are fucking assholes getting COVID, being rich bitches? Come on, people. Don't do this to JK. Anyway, so what was I saying? Therapist. Years ago, she said something about, we figured out what my issues were, and it's not intimacy issues, but it took a few years. But back when she thought my issues were intimacy issues, she's like, and that's why, you know, you want to get a cat and you don't really want to get a dog. I was like, no, no, no. Let me explain something to you. I've been bitten by so many dogs growing up. It's just in my DNA. And I had a cat growing up. That's in my DNA. And she would be like, cats are like, you have to earn their love. And that's what you're like. And you like things that don't like you back. And I was like, not true. Like, literally not true. I just don't want a dog. I don't want to have to get up and walk something. I don't want that kind of commitment. Not because I have commitment issues, but because I have like literal conflicts. And I don't find dogs like that cuddly. Even, you know, other people can have dogs. That's great. And I like a lot of my friends' dogs, but I'm not a dog person. You know, it's all different kinds of people. I'm a cat person. And she's like, that's because then, and I'm like, I just was like, bye. And I never said to her, I don't have that experience with cats. I know that that's a cat thing, that they can be kind of finicky and like come hither. But I mean, yes, sometimes, but that's a kind of why I think cats have this intelligence. Like, I don't want an animal that's just all over me because I'm feeding it. But cats, in my experience, my cat Mittens growing up, the minute I got home from school, would greet me at the door meowing like a dog. And I remember one time I was sad because I was getting bullied at school and I was crying on the couch and Mittens jumped up, sat on my chest and put his paw on my tear. I mean, that's my relationship with cats. And if I was homeschool sick sometimes, you know, like when you're throwing up and you get like a bucket next to the couch next to your bed, Mittens would sit there, meow, like really worried and look up at me, but not jump on me. Mittens was my best friend. I played dress up with Mittens. I dressed him up in clothes. He would sit there still. You know, we take walks around the backyard together. I mean, that's what I think cats are. That's what I grew up with. That's what I'm referencing. So, you know, then I had a roommate, rest in peace, Karen. Wow. I just thought of something. The three biggest people in my life when I first moved to LA are dead. Which is fine. They weren't big figures in my life. It's not like they were. They all died after we were kind of apart for a while. But it's just strange. Like, wow, wow, wow. Okay, anyway. Her cat, we lived together. She had a cat, another tuxedo, that she'd had her whole life. And she was really upset because the cat slept with me every night and would, like, sit on my chest and, like, put her nose on mine. And that's how I fell asleep every night. And I was going through like a massive depression then. I just felt like the cat was there for me. I don't know. That's my experience with cats. So I feel like I need to start my therapy session this week with, look, years ago you said something that was really pissing me off. You really generalized cats and you made up some bullshit thing that isn't true. Like, oh my God. But that the reason it's pissing me off is what will end up being discovered in the meeting. Do you know what I mean? Like that's the richness of therapy. Okay. Let's go out on this article I read. And I don't know what I think. Again, you guys email me what you think. iseemfun@gmail.com. I didn't get to the listener emails this week. I'm going to wait. If I could ask you guys a moratorium on the grief emails, I'm just not in that same place anymore. I'm kind of, there's a lot of details about that story that just I don't want to get into, but I'm mostly angry right now. And it's not the anger phase of the stages of grief. I'm angry at people in his life that are icing me out. And I'm kind of fucking pissed about it right now. And I just don't want to think about it. I mean, I do think about it, but I don't want to suddenly get emails like, thanks for your episode about, just not right now. Okay. This is from, I don't remember where I got it from. Sorry, because I printed it out. It might be The Atlantic. The pandemic has erased entire categories of friendship. There's a reason you miss people you didn't even know that well. Now, I'm not experiencing that at all. Maybe because I have Twitter and stuff like that. Like, I do have small talk with people I barely know every day. Or not small talk, but anyway, a few months ago, and millions of Americans were watching the Netflix series Emily in Paris because it was what we had been given that week, I queued up for the first episode and was beset almost immediately by an intense longing, not for travel or for opportunities to wear beautiful clothes, but for sports, specifically watching sports in a packed bar, which is what the titular character's boyfriend is doing when the viewer meets him. The scene is fleeting, and it's also pretty bad. It doesn't come close to capturing the sweaty intensity of a horde of nervous fans poised to embrace each other in collective joy or drink through despair. I already hate this article. That scene is 4 seconds long and has nothing to do with what the show is about. Okay, bye. Okay, so this, she misses going to sports bars. I already don't relate. I'm like, who cares? Bye. During the pandemic, I've been able to maintain an outdoor TV, the ability to watch a game with a couple of my closest buddies, which is a bomb. But the other experience, the one in Emily, that Emily in Paris was trying to portray, has been lost entirely. In noticing all the ways the show, how much I missed all these people, I only sort of know. Of the dozens of fellow fans and bar employees I'd greet with a hug on a normal fall Saturday, I follow only a handful of them on social media. For most of the others, I only know their first names. But many comforted me through mutual bone-deep disappointment or sprayed champagne at me in exhilaration. In the weeks following, I thought frequently of other people I'd missed without fully realizing it. Pretty good friends with whom I'd mostly done things together that were no longer possible, such as trying a new restaurant, obviously, but coworkers I didn't know well but chatted with in the communal kitchen, workers at the local coffee or sandwich shops who could no longer dawdle to chat. Okay, I don't miss coworkers in a kitchen, like, at all. And yes, even in writing jobs, you have that, and it's annoying. The depth and intensity of these relationships varied greatly, but these people were all, in some capacity, my friends. And but I miss being in person in writers' rooms. I mean, that's fun. Understandably, much of the energy directed toward the problems of pandemic social life has been spent on keeping people tied to their families and closest friends. The other relationships have withered largely unremarked on after the places that hosted them closed. The pandemic has evaporated entire categories of friendship and by doing so depleted the joys that make up human life and buoy human health. I get what she's saying. And listen, if I'm going to write an article, I'm going to go with that. I'm not even going to finish reading this. I'm going to go with that. You know, here's a unique take. I know everyone's writing about how their friendships are changing in the pandemic, but what about the people you barely know and just had chit chat with? I don't miss any of that. I do miss the opportunity to travel and sit alone in a restaurant, and maybe chat up a stranger. That's something I would do if I was in a different country, but that's mostly about the travel. The stranger interaction is the least of it. I honestly feel, for me, that my closest friendships are the ones that I'm missing because my closest friends aren't totally, they're not at the same level of COVID safety as I am. They are hanging out in person and I won't. And they don't like to Zoom or talk on the phone, so I'm losing touch with them. And I'm noticing other friends who are COVID safer and like to talk on the phone and they like to Zoom, I'm talking to them all the time. And I'm mainly in touch with like a ton of my long distance friends. So I've talked about that before. So I don't know. Do you agree with this article? It'd be fun to hear if you do or you don't. I don't care either way. I didn't find myself relating to that, which is why I threw it down on the ground like a child. Anyway, so yeah, send me an email, iseemfun@gmail.com. What are your thoughts on anything I said in this week's episode? And until next week, have fun.